Hey there, agility friend. If you've listened to a few of my podcast episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of something called growth mindset. You can have access to the best instruction in the world, and you can have the best dog in the world, and the best skills in the world, but if you don't have a solid mindset and approach to the challenges that sport and life are going to toss your way, you're not going to be able to really make the most of all of those bests that you have, you know, best instruction, best dog, best skills, all that stuff. I'm so passionate about the importance of our mindset when it comes to dog agility and really everything in life that I've written an ebook about growth versus fixed mindset, what the hallmarks of those two mindsets are, and how one can really propel you along your agility journey and one may really be holding you back, maybe without you even being aware of it. That ebook is not for sale anywhere, but it is available for free to subscribers of my email list. So if you're curious about what a growth mindset is, what a fixed mindset is, and how to ensure that you've got the right mindset for making the most of your dog agility training and handling journey, head to podcast.theagilitychallenge.com and scroll down till you see the link to subscribe to my email list and get that ebook. It's totally free and it's a game changer. Check it out today at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. This week's agility challenge tip is embrace struggle. Here's an excerpt from Daniel Coyle's Little Book of Talent, which I refer to in every one of these agility challenge talent tips. At all of the talent hotbeds, from Moscow to Dallas to Brazil to New York, I saw the same facial expression. Eyes narrow, jaw tight, nostrils flared, the face of someone intently reaching for something, falling short and reaching again. This is not a coincidence. Deep practice has a telltale emotional flavor, a feeling that can be summed up in one word, struggle. I've brought this up again and again in podcast episodes, private lessons, workshops, online classes, office hours, you name it. Embracing struggle can itself be a struggle for me, and I know I'm not alone or unique in this, or it wouldn't be written up in memes, motivational quotes telling me to embrace struggle, or the book that I reference in this mini podcast episode each week. Even so, saying to embrace struggle and knowing that embracing struggle is good is one thing. It's actually fully being able to be in that mindset that is something entirely different, especially if it's not a mindset that you were brought up with or a mindset that you have ease getting on board with. And in his little book, The Little Book of Talent, Daniel Coyle points out what we all know, that most of us instinctively avoid struggle. Struggle's uncomfortable. Struggle doesn't feel good. Struggle can feel like failure. And at any level in sport, but especially at the higher levels, and if you have an inexperienced teammate, I have two of them currently, or if you're actively working to get to a higher level in sport, heading to a competition, running hard courses, it can really feel like a struggle. And then almost immediately, like failure. At the moment, I have two youngsters. They're both less than 3 years old. They're coming up on three. They'll be three in May. And we're getting to the point where we have a lot of brilliance in our runs, but also not so many clear rounds. It's just little stuff. Sometimes it's just one little thing at this point, which at the level we're competing at is pretty impressive for their age. But still, sometimes it can feel like a struggle. Many might ask, why in the world would somebody continue to put themselves in the face of feeling frustrated? Why would anybody want to struggle? And maybe you're asking yourself that. Why in the world do I continue to put myself in the face of feeling frustrated? Why am I continuing to struggle? Well, when it comes to developing your talent, struggle isn't an option. It's a biological necessity. And as the author of that little book of talent says, this might sound strange, but if you think about it, it makes sense because it's the way evolution built us. The struggle and frustration that you feel at the edges of your abilities, that uncomfortable burn of almost, it's the sensation of constructing new neural connections. And it's a phenomenon that UCLA psychologist Robert Bjork calls desirable difficulty. Your brain works just like your muscles in this sense. No pain, no gain. I know this. I've heard or read this thousands and thousands of times. And yet sometimes I still feel uncomfortable struggling. Sometimes I still battle the urge to back away from it and retreat to a more comfortable place. And sometimes that's appropriate. Sometimes it's good and healthy to be in your comfort zone, to take a break from struggle. But I've also gotten better with that feeling of discomfort that comes with struggle. I've gotten better at looking for ways to struggle, looking forward to ways to struggle, and having that attitude of, yeah, bring it on. And the way that I've gotten better with this is with practice. And I do try to remember that while my comfort zone might be a beautiful place, nothing ever really grows there. So even if I'm taking a break, taking a step back and spending a little time on the couch in my comfort zone, I know that nothing is growing there. And so I'm going to need to get up and get back to that discomfort, area of discomfort and struggle, if I'm chasing growth. So how do we get comfortable with really embracing struggle? How do we get to a point where we can stand tall, wade right in and rumble with struggle and have the faith and confidence that not only will it result in growth, but that what we consider to be a struggle now will soon be within our comfort zone? Awareness and recognition of the benefits of struggling is key, but also practicing struggle for the express purpose of improvement is also key. As dog trainers and handlers, we also have the added responsibility to make sure that we're aware of how much struggle our dogs are engaged in while they're learning. And I've talked a lot about in Agility Challenge office hours about how learning and motivation should really be thought of as two separate things. You really want your learner to be motivated and engaged and ready to learn, because learning can involve struggle and it can involve discomfort, and it for sure involves failure, because if there's no failure, there's no learning happening. So you really need to think about motivation and learning as two different things. And for us, for the human side, we have all sorts of reasons that we might be motivated to learn and embrace struggle so that we can grow, so that we can develop our talents. Developing talent, though, for us is not dissimilar to developing talent for our dogs. As living, breathing creatures, we will need to undergo some struggle as well to form new neural connections. So how do we ensure that while there may be some struggle required, it's all part of a fun game with a pretty motivating reward? Like I said, as handlers on the human side of things, we may have some complex and maybe not even tangible motivators that keep us going despite struggle. But how can we set things up so that we develop our own talent and the talents of our dogs? For me, from the time my dogs are puppies, I try to develop a sense of inquiry and a love for solving puzzles. Tasks may not be easy, but there's a lot of encouragement to persist and high rates of reinforcement along the way for reaching clearly defined and pretty well broken down goalposts, big jackpots, and genuine celebrations of success, particularly when I can tell that the task has been a struggle for the dog. So I make sure that my dog comes to the table engaged and motivated. We've got that history of engagement and motivation. And then I engage in some training and some learning, knowing full well that it might be grinding on my dog a little bit. There might be some struggle just in my dog trying to figure out what I want. So we go for it and we work on something for just a couple minutes maybe. And then at the end, we reconnect. We kind of take a breath and back away from the training and the learning, and we take a breath and we reconnect and celebrate those little successes, even if the only success was that the dog struggled and stuck with it, so that I can refill my dog's motivation and engagement bucket before we stop for the day, or maybe we take another breath and dive back into the deep end for training and learning. I have an example. So it's a topic that comes up a lot in the handling and training challenges in the Agility Challenge, and that is sending your dog to an obstacle. Now, a send is when you ask your dog to go ahead and take an obstacle that you're already moving away from or that you're distant from. And moving away from you as the handler to take an obstacle that's been cued with only a verbal and an arm cue, when you move away, maybe in the opposite direction even, can be very difficult for dogs psychologically. It seems like a simple thing to us, and it may be, physically speaking, a simple thing for you and for the dog, but there can be a high degree of uncertainty associated with whether or not the dog should take the obstacle in question if your motion is no longer supporting it. Your dog also, like you, can feel like something's a struggle. And this idea of ascend when you're moving away, but you want them to take it, the obstacle, is an example of something that may feel challenging and uncomfortable for your dog. It's something that we may not recognize as challenging, and so we may fail to recognize it and then reward it as something that was challenging for the dog. And it's something that's necessary for you to really be able to stay ahead on course and continue giving your dog good information, this idea of sending them to an obstacle. So it's a challenge that needs to be engaged in so that the dog can learn how the rules of the game go and so that you can handle them around the course. So that's just one example. You could probably think of dozens of examples of things that when you sit down and think about it, might seem simple to you and might really be simple, mechanically speaking, but are in some way, especially mentally, challenging for your dog. And then for us and for our dogs, but I'll stick to us for a moment, embracing struggle can be a struggle in and of itself. It does seem to come easier for some than for others. It does seem to come easier for some dogs than for others. But again, that's the result of practicing embracing struggle over and over again. So if you're feeling like you're struggling, remember that you're exactly in the right place for growth to occur. And make sure you keep some records because you're going to want to know when you're struggling that, oh yeah, if I look back, my struggle has actually moved on to more advanced or different topics. And then you can look back and realize, oh, yes, I'm still struggling. My feeling of struggle might be the same, but I'm struggling on much more advanced topics than I was a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. And that's a great way for you to have some perspective on while you may feel like you're struggling, you've got that feeling of struggle and discomfort. You have made progress. It's just like going to the gym. Or anything where you're trying for continuous growth. It never gets easier. You just get stronger. The struggle never changes. You just pick up heavier weights. And it's the same with mindset stuff. And it's the same with growth mindset versus fixed mindset. Maybe you're dealing with performance anxiety, that sort of thing. If you work on it, the struggle may never get easier, but you may find that now you're struggling to speak in front of a group of 500 people instead of speaking in front of a group of one person. So with this stuff as well, when it comes to purposeful practice, deliberate practice, and getting a little uncomfortable, it never gets easier. You just get better. And that is this week's agility challenge tip, tip number 17. If you haven't listened to or watched tips 1 through 16, take a look at those. Leave a comment below and let me know what your thoughts are on this particular episode, and especially this last bit. The idea that it never gets easier, you just get stronger, or it never gets easier, you just get better. Does that resonate with you? It definitely resonates with me, and it's one that I really try and remember and aim for.
Thanks for joining me on the Agility Challenge podcast with Daisy Peel. If you'd like to take your agility training, handling, and mental game to the next level, check out that ebook that I mentioned at the top of the episode. You can get it for free at podcast.theagilitychallenge.com. It's not for sale anywhere, and it's only available to subscribers of my email list. Getting on board with the right mindset when it comes to your dog agility handling and training challenges is a game changer, so make sure you check it out.